Yeah, the highest flyer in the game here, AR Fox, and you're listening to 2MB Wrestling Podcast at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Everybody, shout out to Marilyn Manson, beautiful people. Marilyn Manson's about to go on tour with Rob Zombie, so if you're into that kind of thing, good luck. 2001 Invasion. It's pretty much the invasion angle, obviously, when WCW and ECW were purchased by WWE. We're going to run down the events that led up to the invasion. Before we do anything, shout out to our sponsors, FanDuel.com, Weekly Fantasy Sports. No matter what kind of sport you're into, baseball, football, hockey, basketball, they have it. FanDuel.com. That's all I have for you. Still waiting for the new promo, but it's coming. I've had a couple people ask me for the promo code to get free bucks every week. I promise you I'll have it by the end of June. This episode, like I was saying earlier, 2001 Invasion. Dave and I are going to bring you up to speed on what's going on before the 10-man inaugural brawl. And pretty much, I'm going to run the promo for you, actually, because I was watching the promo a few times, and it was pretty well done. So I'm going to let you listen to it. But what I'm going to do right now is hit the pause for the cause, thechairshot.com, prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Go pick you up a shirt, because you ain't cool unless you pee your pants. And you're wearing a chair shot t-shirt. So I'm going to hit the pause for the calls, get Dave on, and we're going to get this episode started. Listening to is the debut of Chris Jericho, and I'm playing this because it's probably the best debut in the history of wrestling ever.
Wrestling Federation. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen. And for those of you who do know me, well, all hail the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla!
Got a nice haircut, I can say that!
Now, when you think of the new millennium, you think of an event so gigantic that it changes the course of history. You think of a dawning of a new era. In this case, the dawning of a new era in the WWF.
The Rock is not impressed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jericho's got a lot
and
of
a new
guts.
Era is what this once proud and profitable company sorely needs. What was once a captivating, trend-setting program has now deteriorated into a cliched, let's be honest, boring snooze fest that is in dire need of a knight in shining armor.
Oh, he's talking about you
and
now, JR.
And that's why I'm here. Chris Jericho has come to save the WWF.
From what? Well, you're going to get
pictures in the dressing room, including this one. To everybody watching tonight, we'll never, ever be the same again.
Y2J, did he say Y2J?
Yeah, I heard him.
Look, The Rock is dumbfounded.
He's an arrogant young man.
Uh-oh.
After 3 boring minutes, The Rock says, know your role and shut your mouth!
I second that.
How dare you, little jabroni, come on The Rock show and not even have the class to introduce yourself? What is your name?
I told you
it doesn't matter what your name is!
Oh, no. You gotcha. That one.
The Rock says you talk about your Y2J plan. Well, The Rock has a little plan of his own, and it's called the KY Jelly Plan.
Oh, no.
Which.
You know what that is, JR?
Yeah.
You do? You don't use the clean pipe, JR.
Which means The Rock is gonna lube his size 13 boot real good, turn that sumbitch sideways, and stick it straight up. You can't do that!
And we're back with Big Dave from Attitude of Aggression. What's up, man?
What's going on, dude?
Not much. So, you have any questions about this pay-per-view before I play this little intro and break down?
You're limiting it to the pay-per-view. I had lots of questions about lots of things, man. but if you're going to limit it to the pay-per-view, no, I will listen to your intro. Very interested because I don't remember much of this stuff.
Well, this was my ish back in the day. I was in, God, I was young, dude. This is going to hurt you, man. This was July of 2001. It was between my freshman and sophomore year in high school when this took place.
Fuck you, Rick.
So this is when I was into it, man. And I said last week on the closing that this, I wasn't reading dirt sheets. I wasn't, we fucking barely had the internet at this point. So I wasn't subscribing to magazines. I was just watching what WWF was putting out consistently at this point. And this was a big deal to me, man. Of course, I didn't know that everyone else thought it was shit because you had only had Diamond Dallas Page and Booker T. I looked at it as it was fucking WCW coming to invade the WWF.
What I remember about this is probably leaning more on the side of this invasion's watered down. Now, this is the part where they kind of inject some ECW into this, which makes it better, if my fading memory serves me correctly. But yeah, I think the problem at this point, why some people... The people who really were heavy into the Monday Night War, and, you know, we all were all into Sting and Goldberg and Hogan and all those guys, you wanted to see a true invasion would have had all that stuff going on. And, yeah, I think this probably was an invasion light perceived by a lot of people.
So what it is, when WWF bought out WCW, a lot of the big names, Hogan, Sting, Nash, Hall, Goldberg, they had all just signed 2 to 3 year extensions with WCW not a year prior.
So not just extensions, guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, guaranteed money. So when Time Warner bought out Turner, Time Warner pretty much told them, you can sit home and do nothing and we have to pay you, or you can take a buyout. Well, just like any human that I know in existence of ever, they're going to sit home and do nothing and take their $2 to $4 million and do nothing. And that's
Wouldn't
what everybody
you?
Did.
Yes. I'd do it. I'd sit at...
I pray my company goes out of business every day just so I can get some kind of
severance
just to sit home for a year.
And we could talk about it. I don't want to bury cops and firefighters on this show. You never know who's listening. So let's just move on. We'll talk.
All right. So if you are wanting to watch along, what it is, the 2001 invasion, the 10-man tag, Stone Cold, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, Undertaker and Kane versus Booker T, Diamond Dallas Page, Rhino, and the Dudley Boys. July 22nd, 2001, WWE Invasion, 5 through WWE Networks. Go to marker 1 hour, 52 minutes, and 20 seconds. 1 hour, 52 minutes, 20 seconds. Dave, tell them what they're going to be looking at.
The beautiful face of the one and only Stone Cold Steve Austin. Goddamn, Dave, is that my face there? That was your face, Steve, when you were a lot much younger. Man, you know, fuck you. I'm still a handsome motherfucker. Not as good looking as that Rick Latchney, but I'm all right. Well, there you go, Rick. Stone Cold's on your show now, so there you go.
Thanks, Steve.
Maybe I hope he comes to your house and starts putting his dick in your pool skimmer and stuff like that. So,
well, I did just shave, so as you can tell, I got my fresh bald head.
Oh, your head. I thought you were talking about your Brazilian job. Anyway, sorry.
Well, that's all in one cut. I just do everything all right. Once.
Yeah, it's efficient. That's as efficient as you're going to get, folks.
1 hour, 52 minutes, 20 seconds. All right, so here's the deal. Before we hit play, if you're not familiar with the invasion angle, I'm going to bring you all the way back to March 23rd. Now, it's about 4 paragraphs, so bear with me. But what I'm about to explain to you takes you from March to July. 4 months, right at the marker. 4 months. In 4 paragraphs. So bear with me. If you already know the story and you really don't want to hear it, hit the fast forward button about 4 times. You'll be good to go. Dave, you ready?
I'm ready, man. Are we hitting play or are we listening to you?
No, I'm
or both?
I'm,
both.
No. Well, no. No, not yet.
All right.
Because I want to play the promo before we all actually right. start watching the match.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Going all the way back to March 23rd, the final episode of WCW Monday Nitro. Vince McMahon comes out, starts a simulcast for both shows, Raw and Nitro, stating that he has purchased WCW, his competition. He is now the rightful owner to both companies. A little bit, I think later on in the segment, Shane McMahon comes out and tells Vince, which shocks Vince, by the way. He wasn't expecting Shane to pop up and says, McMahon does own WCW, but it's Shane McMahon, not Vince McMahon. So a couple weeks pass, those two, their angle goes further, starts a feud, leads to a match at WrestleMania 17, a street fight. What Shane does beat his dad at WrestleMania 17. If you haven't seen that match, go back and watch it. It's pretty good. From that point on, for the next 2 months, every week WCW wrestlers are interfering in matches. Raw, SmackDown, no contest. The biggest one, though, to everyone's remembrance is King of the Ring 2001 when Booker T interferes in a triple threat match for the WWF Championship. That's when he tosses Austin on the announce table, nearly costing him his title. The following night, on June 25th, Shane officially declares his intention to invade the WWF, and the invasion storyline begins with Booker T performing a scissors kick to Vince McMahon. On the July 28th episode of SmackDown, it was decided that the pay-per-view name Fully Loaded will be changed to Invasion and would feature matches between the WWF and WCW. The ultimate goal here was for WCW to quote-unquote take over one of their two primary programs, whether it be Raw or SmackDown, and rebrand it to its separate entity altogether. So to test these waters, the final 20 minutes of the July 2nd Raw telecast was given over to WCW completely. They brought their own commentators in, Scott Hudson, Arn Anderson, their own ring announcer, Stacy Keibler, and their own referee, Nick Patrick. Main event was Booker T against Buff Bagwell for the WCW Championship. This also continued on later on in the week on SmackDown, where Gregory Helms, a.k.a. The Hurricane, lost his Cruiserweight Championship to Billy Kidman. Now, both of those matches from the TV audience and the live audience just got such negative reviews that the WCW or the WWF decided just to make WCW its own heel group entirely. So on July 9th, Raw, WCW owner Shane McMahon was scheduled to face Diamond Dallas Page in a street fight. Instead, the two attacked The Undertaker, turning Shane McMahon heel. If you remember, Diamond Dallas Page was already heel when he debuted in WWF, and they did that whole stalker angle with The Undertaker and his wife. So later that night, Chris Jericho and Kane, they take on Lance Storm and Mike Awesome from WCW in a tag match, ended in a no contest when the ECW alums from both the WWF and the WCW roster, including the debuting Rob Van Dam and Tommy Dreamer, they make their way to the ring. It looks as if they're going after Storm and Awesome. Instead, they attack Jericho and Kane, which led to the Raw color commentator Paul Heyman, leaving the announcer's booth and declaring that ECW has joined forces with WCW, including Raven, Lance Storm, Rhino, and the Dudley Boys, also Taz, all defecting, which were on the WWF roster. They're now defecting to the ECW roster. Shane, that's when Vince McMahon comes out, and you'll hear this in the promo. Shane McMahon tells him that ECW is now part of the Alliance, and he introduces the new owner of ECW, who hasn't been on TV at this point in almost 2 months, Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. So that's where you're at. The go-home show prior to this is everybody's at the bar. They're drinking. It's just one big-ass brawl. And it goes off air. So that's how we got to from March to July. Of course, that's the timestamps. A lot of stuff happened in between. But that's what you need to know. So before we start this promo here, you have any questions or you want me to go ahead and start it?
No, man, that was excellent. Very, I mean, fantastic. I mean, I remember the night. I remember the night, but we all remember the night very well that WCW ceased to exist, and they had the, Vince McMahon showing up on Nitro while it was airing in Panama City that night, and just the surreal nature of that.
Yep.
Was, comparable along the same lines as stuff that you never thought you'd see happen, like the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup or something like that. But yeah, Vince on Nitro was just like, wow. And then they swerved it with that whole Shane McMahon thing. One of the most, I mean, that's got to be, that was in the one of the top Raw moments, wasn't it? On Raw 25, it had to be.
I think it was. I don't know if it was an official Raw moment, but it changed, with as far as the invasion angle, it changed everything.
I think as far as the industry, it changed everything.
Yeah, you can make that argument for sure. Now, I'm three of these in.
Cool, good man.
So, if I slurred a couple words, bear with me. But go to marker 1 hour, 52 minutes, 20 seconds. You're going to see Steve Austin's face. I'm going to hit the play button, and I'm going to let this whole promo air out. I think it's about 3 or 4 minutes, Dave, so bear with me. And you're going to watch it, too.
I'm
so
there.
So when I 3, 2, 1, play, when I say play, hit the button. Is everybody ready?
Ready.
1 hour, 52 minutes, 20 seconds. 2001 is the year. Invasion is the pay-per-view. You're going to be looking at Steve Austin's face, counting down 3, 2, 1, play. So I'm going to be quiet here, and we're going to listen to this. Prior to this, real quick, Steve Austin's character has become a huggy, funny type of guy.
This is when he was doing all that. Oh, hold on.
So here, listen to this.
This thing's pretty much all even up here. And, you know, I'm not exactly feeling the pressure because I've got all the confidence in the world.
But are you trying to motivate me, Vince? I don't need nobody to come here and give me no pep rally. I didn't come here to sing to nobody. I ain't here to play guitar to nobody. I ain't here to hug nobody. I'm here to go out there and whip somebody's ass.
Nice pop.
Because that's the bottom line. Cause Stone Cold said so.
Okay, so I'm going to lower the volume just a little bit. And you see the inaugural brawl. You're going to have Diamond Dallas Page, Booker T, Rhino, and the Dudley Boys taking on Austin, Angle, Jericho, and the Brothers of Destruction. So, Dave, I'm going to go ahead and turn this up because I want everyone to hear the promo. So I'm going to hit the mute button on us, and we're going to let this play, all right?
Okay.
Right now on WCW, Shane McMahon has fought WCW right from under his father.
The WCW invasion is on.
Are you afraid of this?
The bell lines have been drawn.
Are you afraid of competition?
Shane McMahon is trampling on his family's legacy.
The bell lines have been drawn.
The fight is on.
It's now time for WCW invade the WWF.
My God, I can't believe this.
The WWF. Dismantle.
Where there's chaos, JR, there is opportunity.
What the hell is this? Why are the Dudleys, why are Taz beating up their own teammates from the WWF?
This invasion just got taken to the extreme.
Heyman and Shane McMahon on the same damn page.
I am personally responsible for the merger of WCW and ECW. I got one more thing for you. The new owner of ECW. Give it up for Vince's daughter, Stephanie McMahon. Helmsley.
And together, Shane and I have the power to run the WWF out of business.
And the future of the WWF as we know it is very much at stake.
You know, Stone Cold, the man that I need to lead Team WWF at Invasion is not a Stone Cold Steve Austin who gives me hugs.
You know what I need? You know who I need? I need the old Stone Cold!
I need the Stone Cold Steve Austin who's a fierce, swelling, foul-mouthed S.O.B.
I need the kind of hell-raising Stone Cold Steve Austin
who don't take no from anybody.
I need you to lead Team WWF into invasion.
I need the old.
Cold, I need you, Austin, to lead Team WWF. Damn it, Stone Cold, turn around. Come back, Austin, Stone Cold.
Where's Stone Cold?
Not only is Stone Cold not here, but he's at some local bar drinking.
I gotta go find Stone Cold, okay?
No one's ever threatened the WWF like this. WCW-ECW combination. We've never had that kind of threat. Steve, I need your help.
This Sunday at Invasion, and the inaugural brawl, it's our five best against their five best and their very best. Stone Cold Steve Austin ain't at his best anymore, now is he?
Starting tonight, we ain't taking this no more.
Yeah. It is up to every one of you to take out the WWF forever.
Yeah! There's no shame in going out and fighting and getting your ass kicked.
The line in the sand has been drawn. There's no going back. Hey, after this Sunday, there is no tomorrow.
But there's no honor
in not fighting at all.
Right. Are you with us?
Yeah!
Are you with us? Yeah!
Gentlemen,
now is the time.
Get up, stand up.
Let's do it, guys.
And fight!
Striking anything that by God moves!
Austin is leading Team WWF!
This is our last chance.
There's no going back. There is no tomorrow.
Feel this moment for the rest of your life!
No force of nature and no act of God could stop this invasion from happening!
is and who's the crazy brain.
This is ECW and WCW, the biggest threat that has ever faced the WWF.
The battle lines have been drawn!
Shane and I don't play in the interest of fairness.
We're going to be playing dirty.
We will kick WCW and ECW.
No WWF superstar is going to deny us from our destiny.
Death to the WWF!
Here comes the money.
Wow.
All right, so of course, the matches, the entrances are happening. So if you're watching along, I'm at 1 hour, 58 minutes, and 17 seconds. Shane is making his way out. So, Dave, before we start this, two things, man. I got chills at least four or five times watching that. I don't know about you. And if you didn't, if you have not watched that promo, I urge you to go watch that promo, that lead up, that build to this match.
No, it was fantastic seeing Austin just kind of wrestling with his own inner demons, you know, as to can I be who I used to be, and that whole situation. And now this is just a straight up 10-man tag. This isn't an elimination or anything like that, is it?
It is not. No.
Okay.
Now I like this set because you have the whole night. You had ECW and WCW coming out on the left hand side, and you've had WWF coming out on the right hand side. I remember ordering this, man. I had like 20 people at my house, and I think we had two WCW guys that we were just beating up on all night. Of course, he got the last laugh. I don't want to say spoiler alert, because if you haven't seen this, there's a problem. But it's. I remember when the WWE wrestlers were making their entrance, especially Jericho. It's just every time they had a wrestler from WWF make an entrance, that crowd popped so big. And you could just you feel the electricity, man. It was so surreal to me to watch this live at this time.
Yeah. Now, where's this is taking place? Where?
In Cleveland. This is in Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland got
Arena.
This thing.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I have to double check. This is the same arena Vince at the simulcast the night they bought out WCW.
Ah, that makes sense.
So, I'm gonna turn this up just a little bit.
There's the man, right? Look at the grapefruits on that man. Now, that's a man. Did Greg happen to...
We didn't even do did Vince McMahon. He is such a man, Dave. He's got the word man in his name.
I know. Well, so does Shane and Stephanie, but that's all right. But, yeah, I mean, if there ever was a man, look at that man. That's a man. That's just a god amongst men. He might be in his own category, Rick.
Yeah, he has to be. So I think for the first time in a while, man, I'm going to keep the volume up just a little bit on my end. So if you're listening live, you have commentary to walk you through. But just the serious look, man, that Vince has given. I mean, this is a storyline. This is life and death right here.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. The Dudleys.
Pyro at its best.
Back when the Dudleys were still kicking major ass, too.
Oh, yeah. Dudley boys are coming out representing ECW here.
Yeah, look. Oh, my brother. Oh, testify.
All right, did you see how hot Stephanie looked in that opening promo with that pink dress?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, man. That's no wonder Triple H decided to just take out the mortgage on that. Not make the down payment or the deposit. He took out the full mortgage on that.
This is when Hunter was just drilling Stephanie on a regular. Before kids, I mean, before she could, you know, do all kind of wild shit. All right, so this is Kane.
Back when Kane was a big deal. Oh.
The Brothers of Destruction here. This is what I thought we were going to see at WrestleMania this year, Dave.
Oh, look at it. I mean, you got Limp Bizkit going on, and you got Biker Taker and the Big Red Monster, and man, that's... There you go, the Brothers of Destruction in their prime.
Oh, yeah. Both guys were looking good.
It's my yard. Fuck you, Roman. It's my yard.
Speaking of Roman, this morning...
Dude, Do you see how many likes and retweets that shit I sent out got?
Yeah.
Jesus, man. It just, the Roman, I mean, God. This is the thing, man, about Roman Reigns. I don't want to detract from the awesomeness that is going on, but as big a supporters as we are of the guy, it does get a little bit annoying that anytime you do something positive, 50,000 people come out of the woodworks. He's my man. I love Roman. Yeah, you love him for the wrong damn reason, too.
It actually broke. We're recording this on June 16th. You're not going to hear this until a week after we're finished, but they addressed the new event that's going to happen in Melbourne, Australia this morning. 100,000 seat stadium. Undertaker, Triple H at your main event.
The final. The real final. The real end of an era.
And somebody said, man, look, if Taker was going to lose, some guy said Punk should have did it, should have done it at 29. I was like, yeah, I could see that. But that build-up for Punk and Taker, man, with Paul Bearer after he passed, that was so good. Here comes Rhino. Rhino sure as hell don't look like that these days.
No, he doesn't. He's lost a step.
Paul Heyman having an orgasm outside. I'm getting chills just watching this again. Just the crowd, man.
Oh, Jericho, this beautiful entrance. Man.
Look how amped, look how fucking amped this crowd is, dude.
Yeah.
Everybody, all three levels are standing up.
You think they'll be that hot for shit tomorrow in Chicago? I don't think so.
Hell no, man. And that's why I like going back watching these, man. It's just, I mean, anybody can go back and watch these, but when you actually sit down and watch them and talk about them, you just relive. Well, these were my good days, Dave. Your good days were what? 95?
I mean...
90?
Nah, probably... Yeah, around like WrestleMania 4 through 8.
Okay.
Were probably like my... That was where the things were really great. I mean, you know, Hogan, Macho Man, Warrior, that era was my... That's my wheelhouse there. Oh, here comes the five-time... Now this is well before he gets his ass kicked here in Bakersfield in the Green Frog Market, right?
Yes. Yeah, actually that angle is after this one. No, because no, it doesn't. It, I don't know, man. They may have had a. I'm gonna look that up.
So Booker's what? He's the WCW champion, and what else is he?
That looks like. That's the United States, WCW United States Championship.
Ah, the big gold belt. Did you just hear what JR said? He said he's no Flair, he's no Sting. Those guys had some character and some integrity. Because they decided to take, you know, just to sit at home and take their money.
All right, so that...
This is before the You Suck chant had caught on.
Correct.
And before Kurt learned what a razor to the head could do.
He was looking good right here, man. I don't even think Kurt was in his prime right here, man.
No.
I think he was just entering it.
He was, yeah, I mean, and he was just, I mean, a freaking prodigy, man. If ever there was a pro wrestling prodigy, it's this guy.
Yes. Look at Vince's face, man. I love it. You have Jericho, Kane, Taker, and Angle in the ring right now. The Dudley Boys, Rhino, and Booker T outside.
And here comes DDP.
The final entrant for the Alliance. If you don't have his yoga, go get it. They do wonders
right
for you.
Stalk the Undertaker's wife. I remember that, man.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that.
That was great. Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
PC didn't like it. I was talking to PC about it, and I think Taker, I think both of these guys were on record stating that they didn't enjoy that. All right, here it goes, man. It's off. And this is something you don't see that much these days either, man. The match starting on the outside.
Yeah.
Look at this
and
fucking
then Austin.
Pop.
Look at Vince.
Austin coming in, just whipping ass.
Austin just going right after Rhino, taking him down.
Beating the shit out of him. Angle on Page.
Ugh, steps, getting dented already. Right off the bat. Austin Chance breaking out in the first, like, 30 seconds of the night. Vince looks like he's about to have a conniption. It's like a religious experience.
It is, man. Imagine having front row at this fucking event. Holy shit.
Yeah. Really, I mean,
what'd you do
about
last
a hot
night?
Ticket.
Yeah, I'll just watch The Undertaker and Kane and Austin and Angle and Jericho and, you know, another night.
Yeah, back then it was just another night. Now it'd be like the dream of all time.
So Austin and Rhino officially, quote unquote, start the match.
Look at, there's AJ Styles in the second row. He's got a sign pointing to himself. Stomping a mud hole. That's not a unicorn stampede. That's an Austin stampede. Get down, Bubba.
Bubba Ray with a beautiful sell here.
Get down, Dallas. I'll use your yoga later on, but not right now.
Now, this was 01. So Austin was right in his prime right here. So this is... He still had 2 years before he retired.
Yeah, he had 2 years left. That's true.
I say his prime. I don't know. His 98, 99 run.
Yeah.
His 99 run was real good until Rikishi ran him over.
He was doing great until that damn Rikishi. That son of a bitch.
I did it for The Rock.
You never know what I'm going to chop you in the chest first and then punch you in the face. And Austin with the very basic but very effective offense.
This is the type of wrestling I like, man. Brawler style. Like, I have all the respect in the world for guys like Seth and The Miz and Finn Balor, but this is the shit I enjoy. None of that choreographed shit. And I say choreographed shit with the utmost respect.
Oh, nice superplex. Yeah, Devon's like, not so fast, dude.
Here comes the greatest of all time. You're now new NWJP Intercontinental Champion. Or NJP.
IWGP.
Yes,
Rick.
See?
I got it for you, brother.
The OP.
You bastardized a few things in that little segment there. NJPW, IWGP, PQRST.
TUV.
The champ.
WXYZ, Intercontinental Champion.
Chris Jericho, still winning gold. At, what is he, 48 now?
He's up. He's got to be mid-40s, man.
Oh, yeah. Up, Rhino deciding, all right, time to take control of this bitch. Here comes Booker T.
Chris Jericho is 47.
Wow.
40 fucking 7, dude.
I just want to see Booker T go to Chris Jericho and say, we coming for you. Well, you know how it ends.
We're coming for you, Nick. Damn it, son of a bitch.
Damn it, Rick. You're going to blow the explicit rating right out of the water. Oop, missed.
So you have in the ring a current champion and possibly a future mayor of Houston.
That, yeah, exactly. One is a Hall of Famer. The other one is a first ballot Hall of Famer. If he ever stops wrestling.
Jericho. Just doing his thing right here, man.
That bulldog. Suckers Rhino into bashing his own partner on the save.
Dude, I think all of these guys were amped to just put on the best performance they possibly could tonight.
Yeah, Jericho's just, talking about somebody in his prime. Now, Jericho definitely in his prime here. Look at that missile drop kick. Flawless. And Booker T's probably in his prime, too, so give him some credit.
Booker T still has, 12 years left on his run?
Or eight or ten, something.
All of these guys. Angle, Jericho's still going, Kane's future mayor, Undertaker coming back, Austin doing his podcast, DDP with his yoga, Rhino just eating fucking Twinkies every night.
This is like the first match that we've done in a really long time. This is the first time on any of these watch-alongs, Rick, that everybody in the match is thankfully still alive.
Yes, because we've had a watch-along where half the people were not.
Yeah, it makes me feel better. I don't feel so, just the weight of inevitability not quite as heavy in this match. Ugh.
Testify, D-Von in there with Kurt Angle right now.
The good thing, the early part of this match is all WWF. I mean, they really control much of this thing for quite a while. And then, as it always happens in tag matches, things change.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at how trash, you know, you get such shit six-man tag team matches nowadays. And you compare it to stuff like this, and we just don't, you know, we always say it was better. People they complain that when you say, well, it was better back in the day. Well, it was. That's the problem.
Yep.
Look at Kane. I mean, Jesus. You look at him and tell me that Braun Strowman is really bigger than this guy was right at
this point
in time.
Man, it's close, man. It's close.
Yeah. Ugh. Just ripping D-Von a new one. Oh, my brother. Testify to that.
Yeah, that's close, man. If you put Braun up to Kane right here.
Kane was an absolute monster. Miss. Right, there you go, D-Von. Get in your shitty offense here. You're done.
I love crowd reaction back in the day. Everything they did, man.
Bubba. Bubba's not done.
He is now.
He is now, yeah.
No, I think the Survivor Series match, Dave, to answer your question.
Which question was that?
If this was an elimination tag.
Right.
I want to say the Survivor Series from 2001.
Okay.
The one that concluded, the one we're doing next week, was the elimination.
Ah, gotcha. Oh, nice double team move there. Dudley's just innovators of double team moves back in, what is this, 2000, this is 2001. So.
2001, yeah. There we go.
Bubba's not done.
Bubba was looking good here, man. Even though he was overweight, he could move.
Oh, yeah. Stay on him, Bubba. Stay on him. Tell him, Shane. Get him, Steph.
Oof. Hey, John Cena, that's how you run into a boot, sir. Pay attention.
Yeah. Just scary to see a guy that size
up on the top.
Get to the top that easily.
Ugh. One. D-Von breaking that up.
That's like, what, 4 or 5 saves that WCW's had to make so far.
Taker comes in for the first time.
Man, talk about somebody else probably pretty damn close to their prime as Undertaker.
Yeah. And at this point, it was what? When did he debut? 91?
Yeah.
So 10 years in here.
Or 90, somewhere in there.
And look how he's moving. Shit, I can't do that now, Dave, and I'm 31.
Yeah, Undertaker just makes it look easy. I'm sure you're like most of us, that if you had to pick one, American Badass or Dead Man Taker, you take Dead Man Taker, right?
This one?
No.
Are you talking about the...
In general.
I don't like the current Dead Man. I don't like his look now. I like the old. his original Dead Man.
Gonna get some old school out of this thing.
But I had to pick. I'm going Biker Taker, man. He just showed a lot more attitude.
Do you think we'll ever see, like, one more Biker Taker appearance?
I don't think so, but I would love it. I honestly thought we were going to get that from WrestleMania this year.
Yeah. Ooh, nice suplex by Bubba. Get in right. I mean, yeah, God, you just... this is the thing. I mean, I'm just... You look at the one... You look at Team WWF and the depth and quality of that team, and you match it up against... Nice. Shoulder block, but you match it up against the other side, and it's like, man, there's no way.
Which one does
WCW should win this?
You look at look at the 10 men. If you had to pick one that doesn't belong, who you got? I'm going Rhino.
Probably,
yeah. At least Diamond Dallas Page and Booker T are both former champions.
Yeah, and the Dudleys are the Dudleys.
See, this is July. So in 2 months, we're gonna crown the first ever Undisputed Champion.
That's right.
And it's funny, we're talking about Jericho because the opening promo for the show was Jericho's debut with The Rock.
Oh, nice. A good clothesline there. Discus clothesline, The Undertaker right on down.
Look a little Nate in the back. Still kicking, I think, huh?
He's still doing it.
Yep.
DDT.
Poor Rhino wishes he could fit in that one again.
Here comes Booker. I'm gonna lay it in. I'm going to kick your ass. Get him. Get him, Booker. Oh, nice. Booker T's just underrated, man. Ooh, let's get the Spinneroonie. I love JR's commentary. Spinneroonie, give me a break.
Nice. I always love that DDT.
Vince, breathing a little bit easier.
This is, when you think about it, man, it's actually an off night for these guys. You may get, 5 minutes in, 6 minutes in of quality match time? In a 30-minute match.
Yeah. Rhino breaks up another pin. Taker tags in the one and only Rattlesnake.
Well, goddamn, Dave. Ooh.
Nice thumb to the eye, Austin. You got to love it. And
here it is. What's he doing? Stomping a mud hole in your ass.
I'm going to stomp a mud hole in your ass.
Now, I think these two, and I want to say the grocery store bit was right after this.
It might have been. I was there that night that happened.
Oh, were you?
It was here in Bakersfield.
No way.
The Green Frog. Oh, it's the stuff of local legend, man.
Did you, afterwards, did you go walk down that aisle?
Nah, man. They shut it down. Now, it was interesting the way that they did it. Because SmackDown, you got to remember, it was taped back then. It wasn't a live show.
Right.
So when they did the whole thing, it was at the very end of the show. I know on TV it came in like the middle. But when you were there live that night in Bakersfield, it happened at the end of the show. Like, The Rock was actually in the ring when this thing came on. He says, hey, I think we got some footage of Stone Cold at the supermarket. And the lights went out in the arena, and The Rock just sat down in the middle of the ring.
And watched it.
And watched it all go down. It was fantastic.
But is that store now open, or?
Nah, they shut down. But I think, like, Vince,
God,
like, they paid,
damn
like
it, 10, WWE.
They paid, like, $10,000 to, just to basically rent it out. All the people in there, they were all plants and stuff. They weren't any real customers or anything like that.
Shit, you think that $10,000 covered that damage? They did some shit, man.
They did some damage, yeah.
It came close.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Just the shit going on in the back where Stone Cold comes out of the milk cooler. That's fantastic. Lion Salt. Ooh, look at how agile Jericho is. Oh, and there's the turning point of the match, folks.
And I don't want to keep harping on this, man, but do you see the difference in the in-ring work between then and now? It's faster paced. It's more physical.
It is, and I know you think that the current product is over choreographed, and it probably is. These guys were.
You don't see this. Look at Devon's. You don't see punches like that anymore.
No, there's not that level of intensity. That's for sure.
That's the word I'm looking for. You don't have nearly as much intensity in the ring.
No, and you just don't have rivalries like that. I mean, AJ and Shinsuke should have this level of intensity. Then people would buy into it more, you know? But, I mean, and you've got, really, realistically, if you think about it, there's just as much on the line with AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura as there is in this match. Really? You're talking about 50 years of history and all that reputation and everything. You guys can't ramp it up beyond, you know, nutshotting each other to oblivion. Jericho fighting back.
I think, and I said this, I don't know if I said it on your show. I know I said it on ours, but I think this is the match that Vince is going to let AJ and Shinsuke go out and do their thing.
I sure hope so, man. But I don't know, if you listen to the preview show, you already know my prediction.
Yeah, I think we both have Shinsuke, right?
No, I picked the Miz to cash in on these guys and leave with the title.
Interesting.
Greg loved the idea. He doesn't think they'll do it because he just says it would make too much sense. But Greg's like, oh, that'd be so perfect. Miz gets a briefcase. Shinsuke and AJ have beaten the hell out of each other. They're down to the 9 count. They're both down. It's going to be another bullshit decision. And all of a sudden you hear, awesome. Miz cashes in
that
and wins the title.
That would be good, man.
I was like, you know, I would take it. Look at Kurt Angle. Now, he definitely can't do that stuff anymore.
So I
save. How many saves is that? Like 6, 7
yeah,
saves?
It's up there. I just want to get this right. So Money in the Bank is going to be ending at 8 o'clock your time?
I think so. It starts at 4.
What a... Hey, that's some shit, man.
And most of that card is just not so great. Oh,
no.
That full Nelson
nice. Yeah.
Atomic drop.
I always love that move by Bubba Ray.
I mean, I guess the women's championship matches are intriguing tomorrow. Obviously, the two ladder matches, sure. Shin and AJ, and the rest of it's a lot of filler. I could give a shit about the tag team title matches. I don't care. You know, not at all. Roman and Jinder, please, stop. You're insulting my intelligence.
Who'd you pick for that match?
Oh, I pick Roman.
Come on, man. They got to have... No, you're wrong, dude.
Why? Why would you put Jinder over there?
Why wouldn't you? Roman's going to be the guy to dethrone Brock. So why not give the rub to Jinder right now and let Roman get it back at Extreme Rules? I don't know. That's
maybe.
What I said.
Maybe. If the authors of pain get involved, I can buy it. But, oh, nice move.
There's another one.
Oh, there's the first save for WWF.
Yes, double birds to the face.
Yeah.
That crowd popped bigger for that than anything they do now.
So when somebody watches this back, yeah, we should keep track of the saves in this match because it's like 6-1 in favor of WWF right now. That was the first time in this match that a WWF guy had to break up a pin. And I don't even think Kurt was in that much trouble, but whatever. It got Austin to give the double birds, like you said.
Yep.
And the Dudleys, the only true team in this match. And you know what? You're talking about the choreographing of the current product and stuff like that. It goes beyond that because you look, there. Dudleys are the only true team in this match, and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
Quick tags, good tag team psychology, stuff that, I mean, it's still there nowadays. I can't say it's not there. The Gallows and Anderson do it well. The Revival does it well when they're allowed to.
Right, and that's the thing.
When they're not jobbing at a fucking B team, but that's another story.
I have a feeling you went in on them on the chair shot preview show.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
To keep the show within like limits. Oh, here comes a scissors kick. Oh,
spinneroony, baby!
There it is. To keep it kind of, I mean, we really didn't give up. And here comes save number two for WWF. But we didn't talk too much about the tag teams, Rick. There's just not, you know, I think everybody picked the Bludgeon Brothers. Everybody picked the Deleters of Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, no one's, the B team's not winning those titles. I could actually see Gallows and Anderson possibly taking
Austin just coming in.
Titles.
Not to cut y'all. He just came in and.
Because I the Bludgeon Brothers have been completely absent forever. So, Ooh. Oh, there you go, Austin. Clotheslining him to save the match.
Look at that. Look at the crowd, man. All he does is fucking walk by him, Dave.
Hey, that's stunning Steve Austin from WCW. Talk about a character. Wow. You would never know. If you watch any old WCW, the Hollywood Blondes with him and Flying Brian, you would never realize those are the same people.
And let me ask you a question, dude. Speaking of Brian Pillman, you think he would be owning social media right now if he was alive? Good God.
Possibly. I think it would have benefited a guy like him. Oh, there's the what's up right what before it became a big deal. Devon giving him last rites.
Save.
There you go. They are rapidly evening the score on saves. Showing how this match has swung in WCW's favor. But, and you know, it's funny. You look at this match, how it swung back in their favor, and right at the anchor of that are the Dudley boys.
Yep.
That's a sleeper hold. Something. Oh, nice. DDP, man, he was so solid in WCW and just didn't really have much of a run here.
He didn't. Oh, look what Austin's doing to Nate.
Get your ass over here, Nate.
Stay away from him.
Pacing like a caged animal. Kurt Angle's suffering, Rick. He's suffering.
Oh, he's going to slam him.
Come on, Kurt. You got to get to that corner, man. Alabama slam his ass or something.
I got an ideal.
I got an idea. It's going to involve kicking his ass. There you go.
Tag. Of course, the referee won't see it.
And they never do that. They never do this anymore, Rick. They never do that. You never see that anymore. And that's something that they've lost.
That's pure psychology, man. You got to have that shit.
No, I mean, it was so... How many matches do you see where it's like they didn't see the... And it's so effective to build the hot tag.
Yep.
And tag teams nowadays don't know how to build an effective hot tag. It's like nowadays when the hot tag happens, you know the match is ending. And back then, it's like, well, it might go on for a while, and the hot tag might kind of run its course and kind of, you know, blow its steam off and that sort of thing, but... And you just, I don't get why they don't do that anymore.
Fuck, here this goes. This whole thing's blowing up. Look at the crowd, man. Everybody's Kane. Everybody's in, man. Taker's beating
I'm trying to keep these dogs from going crazy.
Oh, you're fine. Rhino Gord, he missed. Jericho hit Booker T. Jericho throws Rhino out.
It's breaking down, Rick. It's breaking down. JR's got to be saying it. Oh, there's a clothesline for your ass. And a backbreaker. Or a sidewalk slam, actually. Oh, here comes a choke slam.
Got him.
Sorry, Diamond.
Up. And
hopefully DDP Yoga straightens
down.
That out.
Taker with a choke slam on DDP.
And this is back when the last ride was the finisher. He wasn't really doing the tombstone that much.
Uh-oh, Little Nate comes in and shoves Taker out. Austin gets thrown in the steps, Little Nate. About to get the last
Little
ride.
Little Nate's going to get the last ride? Oh, that's just wrong.
Here we go, up and
the
down.
Last ride of WCW. That's got to hurt. Austin, take it out.
Down, yeah. Look at that, get throwing his ass out the ring. Mike Yoda.
Two referees who are still around.
Yes, they are.
Taker going in the crowd.
All
he's,
right. Yeah, so they're done. DDP and Taker are slowly getting away from the picture here.
Yeah, it's like that's the end of our night. Good job, guys. Good job.
Let's go grab
Here's
a beer.
Here's on me.
Yeah.
So now it's down to 4-on-4.
4-on-4. You got Angle, Austin, Jericho, and Kane. And you got Dudley Boys, DDP, and Rhino.
There's Michael Cole.
I'm sorry, Booker T and Rhino. Austin selling the knee injury here.
He sure is. D-Bond, or Bubba Ray still got the tag rope wrapped around his wrist. We got casualties. Oh, there you go. Get him, boys. There you go.
Something's about to happen here.
You know, the tables are all laying around. It's the Dudleys against Kane. Yeah, somebody's going for a bad trip here.
Yep.
Michael Cole's like 16 years old in this video.
Look how casual they were dressed, man.
Yeah.
T-shirts, baseball jerseys.
Yes, no freaking ties. Come on.
Ooh, that was a bump.
Austin's effectively out of this match, or is he? And
hey, Dave.
Sorry.
Get the tables.
Yeah, get the tables. Made their reputations with tables. Thank you, Cock. I mean Cole, for that update.
Mitchell Cole.
Mitchell Cole.
Jericho would say.
I sense bad things in your boy's future.
Yep.
D-Von.
D-Von up and D-Von down to the announce table.
Wow.
Thanks to Kane.
And effectively, that's it for D-Von.
Oh,
but a monitor to the head. I take it there's no countouts in this match.
I don't think.
Disqualifications.
Yeah. No. It's an inaugural brawl, God damn it. It's inaugural, Dave.
Vince, we forgot to say that. What do we do? Shut up. Let him go.
It's a brawl. There's no rules in brawls.
A brawl for all, yes.
And Kane, double suplex.
Oh.
Right to the announce table.
Is that the Spanish announce table?
Yes.
It usually is.
Hall of Fame table, man.
They should induct that table into the Hall of Fame.
I tell you,
Spanish announce table should have like, oh shit, look at
here
this.
Here goes.
Oh, Jericho, that was a rough landing.
Yeah, Jericho ran off the apron and pretty much speared somewhat Rhino into a table.
Nothing but carnage and chaos outside. Everybody's laid out. Where's Angle? He's the only one I can't account for.
Okay, so if you haven't seen this before, start paying attention right here because this is where it takes a turn. So you have everybody laid out. Kane, Rhino, Jericho, Dudley boys. You have Austin on the other side selling the knee injury.
Angle's locked out inside the ring, right?
I would say Angle and Booker T. Which Angle is the legal man.
Ugh, just a devastating choke slam. And an even better double suplex. Ugh,
yeah,
just.
That was done well. So back in the ring.
This not so much. It's still pretty good. Not so much a spear as a flying shoulder tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Kurt just getting his ass handed to him.
How's this, Olympic boy?
Tell me he didn't just say that.
Did you see the sign? It said Booker T's number one fan, but T being T-E-A.
Assholes, I swear.
Angle
nice.
Come back here.
No, I mean, look at this guy. The angle slam. You're fucked, Bubba. Oh,
ankle
now.
Lock on Booker T. All right, here we go.
Ankle lock. Oh, there you go.
There goes the ref.
Ref's not,
there goes
ref's
Mike
knocked
here.
Out. Oh. Everybody's laid out.
That's it. Everyone is laid out.
Nice face buster. What could possibly happen to top all this shit, Rick?
Worst case scenario. That's what could happen. Worst case scenario.
No.
Look at the carnage, man. Heyman. Tables everywhere. Heyman.
What are you doing, Vince? What are you doing, Vince, huh? What are you up to?
Vince has the WWE Championship belt. Looks like he's going to try to slide it into Angle. And he does. Shane runs in, grabs it, and hits
Smacks
Vince with it.
In the head.
Goes to hit Kurt, misses. Kurt's waylaying on Shane.
Nice. Clotheslining Shane's ass over the top rope. So long, Bubba. You're
Bubba
gone,
Ray.
Too. There's an
there
Olympic
is.
Slam
this
for
is it.
You.
You would think it's over right here, right? Kurt Angle's getting hyped.
Hey, Jason Jordan, here's how it's done.
Watch your daddy,
son. Your daddy. It's all
Booker
over.
Booker T tapping.
It's over. You're tapping out.
But there's no. Here we go. Austin throws the ref in the ring. Austin gets in the ring himself. Boom! Turns on fucking WWF. Stunner on Angle. Austin turns heel, joins the Alliance, throws Booker T on Kurt Angle.
Count it. He's like, fuck you. He's like, you better count it or I'm going to stunner your ass.
Son of a bitch. I was so fucking pissed, Dave. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Austin, Stone Cold, turn on the WWF, join the Alliance.
Yes, he has, JR. He's turned his back on every damn one of you. You turned me into this hugging piece of shit. Now I just fucked you over. God damn, I'm glad Bailey wasn't around back in this day, Rick. That would have been bad. Hug life for real.
Throws Mike Yoda out the ring. Crowd is just, any energy left out of that crowd was just sucked out, man.
I cannot, by God, believe what that son of a bitch bastard just did.
You have a few cheers, but for the most part, it's like, fuck you, man. Now, I don't know if the crowd was pissed because, oh, shit, we got to deal with more of this invasion shit. Now he's going to town on Angle.
Wow. Just, I mean, as unexpected as the heel turn was at WrestleMania 17, and you were there, Rick, this is probably a little bit more unexpected.
Dude, I think this one, including myself, I'm guilty of this. When we talk about heel turns, I would say everyone, because I never see this. A lot of people fail to mention this one. I don't think many people expected this.
Well, possibly because Austin may have been perceived as a heel anyway.
Right.
At this point in time. Because he hadn't broken completely babyface back yet, right? He was still Vince's
boy. No, he was still heel, but then when the invasion happened, everyone automatically
assumed. Kind of started to slide back over. Yeah.
That WWE was the face, period. No matter if you were on their team, you were the good guy.
Yeah. Why, Austin? Why, damn it, why? Rick, tell him why.
Goes off air, man. I can't. I gotta stop this before it plays, but Austin turns his back, invasion, and the Alliance gets the win here. All right, so this invasion angle goes on for 4 more months, man, and it culminates at Survivor Series 2000 and, I'm looking it up right now, 2001.
Yeah.
And they have another 10-man, which I'm looking up right now, which is going to be our next episode, but this one is the elimination. Yes, 5-on-5 elimination. You have Jericho, Big Show, Kane, The Rock, and Undertaker against Booker T, Kurt Angle, RVD, Shane McMahon, and Austin. No spoilers here. But
why wasn't The Rock involved in this match? The one we just watched?
He took some time off to film your favorite movie, The Scorpion King.
So strategically thinking. I can't say that. I know when you read that to me, Ringer, off there, I'm like, oh, that was a mistake. And yeah, I mean, Scorpion King isn't a movie that's going to knock it out of the park. But, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that was another movie that really established Dwayne Johnson as an actor. I mean, he could even turn the standard shitty action film into something tolerable.
Wasn't that? I think that was his first movie. Was it not?
He had that brief part in, remember, The Mummy Returns. That's where the Scorpion King got introduced. So he was that.
This was his first leading role.
The spinoff from that. And I forget who the chick was in that, but whew, man.
So he was back, but now he is back because the very next month he wins the WCW Championship against Booker T. Kurt Angle defeats Austin by disqualification, so Austin retains. The Brothers of Destruction defeat Diamond Dallas Page and Chris Kanyon for the Unified Tag Team Champions in a steel cage. Hardy loses to Van Damme. Chris Jericho defeats Rhino. So, I mean, you're starting to see, they're starting to play out here. the championship belts, and let's see here. Unforgiven the following month in September. The Rock defeats Booker T again in a handy Booker T and Shane McMahon. So he retains. Rhino defeats Kurt Angle defeats Austin by submission. That's when Austin dropped the championship to Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle becomes your WWF champion at Unforgiven in September. October is No Mercy. Scroll down here. Undertaker defeats Booker T in a singles match. Jericho defeats The Rock. Okay, so this is September. This is the... No. Chris Jericho defeats The Rock for a singles match. For the WCW champ. So Chris Jericho was WCW champion.
Probably. They had to, I remember they had to do something to unify all this crap.
That's right.
I don't think it's till... When does that happen?
That is 2002.
Right. Now, also, during this time frame, this is where Triple H has torn his quad, right? The two-man power trip with him and Austin.
That happened right before... That was in February.
Right. So there's another big WWF name not here for a very specific reason. But, yeah, he's going to return at the Rumble, right, in 2002.
That's when he met, yep.
Yeah, there you go.
So when Austin was out in 2000, Hunter took the lead role here. And then when Hunter was out, Steve, I was enjoying the two-man power trip. I don't know about you.
Oh, they were great. I mean, I still remember the Three Faces of Fear? That match that they had, that was...
Three Stages of Hell and No Way Out right before WrestleMania.
Right, and it was essentially a best out of three falls match with three different stipulations, you know? Another match that you don't... Like, I came up with this idea yesterday, Rick, that... I don't know if you've listened to the preview show where we were talking about NXT.
It's down.
And I was saying, you know, if Gargano and Ciampa keep going on, I'd like to see them do a really different kind of match to finalize that thing. And I'll throw this out to you because I don't know how this jumped in my head because I'm a sick fucker. But aside from that, the match I want to see to end that thing would be a 30-minute Iron Man match inside Hell in a Cell.
Did you honestly say that?
I honestly said that.
Because on my show, you know what my blow-off match was?
What?
A Hell in a Cell match. I said, give me fucking Hell in a Cell next NXT TakeOver.
Yes, yes. They've never done a Hell in a Cell match at a TakeOver. And as far as I know, they've never done an Iron Man match inside Hell in a Cell. Now, you want to, I mean, even by modern standards, you really want to amp up some shit and go in a completely different direction, do something that's never been done before, there you go. You want to get people interested in the current product, give them something that people are like, holy shit, they're going to do an Iron Man match inside Hell. Because you know they're going to end up outside Hell in the Cell at some point. And just like, okay, have it like, I mean, you could book that so easily, man. You know, 20 minutes, it's 2-2. They go outside the ring. The last fall is somebody gets fucking killed going through a table from the top of the cage. You know, something like that.
No, and that's funny you said that because I was telling Britt when we did it. I said, and I'm assuming, I said one of the two things, obviously one of three things is going to happen. I said if Ciampa defeats Gargano, of course, people, you're going to be hearing this a week after. So NXT's tonight. It's been 2.5 hours of us recording this. I said if Ciampa beats Gargano straight up, I don't have a problem with that. But then, of course, the situation Greg threw out where Candice LeRae turns on her husband.
Yes.
Or Candice LeRae feels pressured into throwing the towel in by Ciampa during a submission
move. Could be that.
I said any one of the three is fine. I said, but if you want to continue great television with these two and Candice LeRae, give me option B. Let me see Candice LeRae turn on her husband and that blow off Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, they're going to – I think – and I came up – I suggested it, and I think Greg agreed with me that – well, partially agreed with me. If she turns on him tonight, then it could very well be that her whole thing where she says, I'm done with this. Johnny, you're turning into the very thing you despise the most. She may turn on her husband to try and end this thing and save him from himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I think they're going to go with this thing tonight.
You don't think it's going to be I'm turning on you and now – this coming Wednesday at NXT, she's hanging all over Ciampa. She's rubbing on his abs. And, you know, this is my man right
dude,
here.
We were having
some sexy sex all along.
I think I don't know if Hunter wants to go and press it that far. Because, I mean, that probably cuts a little too close to home. Those three were living together, non-kayfabe and that sort of thing. So, I mean, I'm sure she'd be down with it. I'm sure all three of them would be like, yeah, this is a great story. Let's go down that path. But I don't know. I mean, the adultery angle has been done so many times that I'd like to see them do something deeper with this and say, I've got to save my husband from turning into another version of Tommaso Ciampa. But I would love for and you know, the thing is, these guys are going to go to war for anywhere from tonight for another 6 months to beyond.
Yep.
But at some point in time, DIY is going to get back together.
You think?
And they're going to.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh,
I do
yeah.
too. But, I mean, the way these two have been going, I don't want to see it for at least a year.
Yeah, but doesn't this remind you so much of Triple H and Shawn Michaels when they went to war with each other? I mean, it has all that kind of shit going on. Great, fantastic. Okay, obviously, Ciampa and Gargano do not have the legacy of DX. That is a given.
Yeah, let's clear that.
But intensity-wise and just the way they can run this thing, this could be the modern-day equivalent of that. And if these guys get back together, and they're going to do it at some point in time because it'll happen on the main roster, and when they reconcile, can you imagine the pop that they're going to get for that sort of thing? They've got to do it, Rick.
Oh, I'm with you, but I don't want to see it for a while. I want to see Ciampa
run.
Not
for a while.
As the top heel. So, okay, we're not going in detail, but why have you on the show? Let's just talk about it. Who do you have winning the Women's Money in the Bank match?
I have Alexa Bliss winning the money.
And you have the – all right. I have Becky Lynch. You have The Miz.
I got The Miz.
I have Kevin Owens. AJ Shinsuke.
I said that – okay, look. So here's my thing. If Miz doesn't cash in or whoever wins Money in the Bank doesn't cash in and get involved, I think Shinsuke leaves with the title. But I do think The Miz is going to cash in on – this is the perfect match. You couldn't have a better match for a cash in than this thing.
Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey. Who you got?
I got Ronda, although I think it's going to be a little bit longer match. I don't think it'll be 2.5 minutes. Nia showed a little bit in that segment this week where it took Ronda quite a while to get that armbar on her. So, yeah, I think Ronda wins the title.
Okay.
I think Nia's just – it's done.
Asuka, Carmella, I think James Ellsworth comes back and beats Asuka.
I don't want to see that. You already know why. But I think Asuka wins by disqualification. I could easily see the same thing we saw on SmackDown. The Iconics and Sonya and Mandy all just gang up on Asuka and beat the shit out of her. I don't think Carmella wins this match, but she's leaving with the title. Sure.
No, my official pick was Asuka by disqualification.
I agree. It's just a matter of how we get there.
Exactly. Now, when I say James Ellsworth comes in, that's a reach. I know he canceled his thing Sunday. His scheduled thing Sunday he had yet tomorrow. Was it in China?
There's a lot of. I mean, you're not the only one. There are a lot of rumors.
Okay,
about James Ellsworth.
Regardless, even with knowing that, my official pick I sent in was Asuka by disqualification.
Yeah,
Roman Reigns,
I agree with you.
Jinder Mahal. I chose Jinder.
I chose Roman.
Okay.
I think next to the Authors of Pain showing up, you could have every Singh brother and every sub relative showing there up and try and beat up Roman, and it's not going to matter. But you could be right. You very well could be right. They may want to give Jinder a rub. It's so difficult. My bigger concern is whether that match goes on last, Rick.
Well, I said this on our show. I said I would love nothing more than for Vince to just shove it up the ass of the Marks in Chicago. Make that match wait till 11:30 at night, then put Roman and Jinder on just to say, thank you for your money. Enjoy the main event.
Yeah, and he may very well do that. I mean, it may be strategically speaking because of the way things are going to set up. If you're going to have any sort of cash in, then the Money in the Bank matches have to go on before the championship matches.
Exactly.
Do you agree with me that you've got Becky Lynch and Kevin Owens winning, so you're of the mindset that they're going to split the Money in the Bank briefcases between each brand, right? No, but it's not going to be one brand wins them both. That's not going to happen.
I don't think so. And I had, as you know, yes, I do think one's going to one, one's going to the other. But as you know, I had The Miz winning for a very long time. As soon as Miz was announced in this match, I said he's going to win. Right before, I want to say the week before we did our show, I did process of elimination, man. If they want to go Daniel Bryan and The Miz, you don't fucking need the championship. You don't need a Money in the Bank. You don't need anything but good storytelling with those two. To me, putting the belt in that angle is a waste of a championship storyline. You don't need it. Not with those two. It's a 2-year buildup, man. That's my opinion. Now, if the belt's
I gotta respectfully disagree with
you. That's fine, but if the belt's thrown in, Dave, you're not gonna hear me complain.
No,
believe me.
I guess the problem I have with a guy with a Raw male superstar winning the briefcase is the Brock Lesnar factor. And yeah, it makes it very convenient and easy to get the belt off of Brock via a cash-in, but not if you want to actually have any sort of payoff to this Roman Reigns
thing.
Well,
says?
And I think they do.
Who says that, say, Kevin Owens wins? He's got a year to use it, man. And I think in a year, I think you can have 2 to 3 different Universal Champions. I think
that'd be nice.
Roman or
that.
Seth beats Brock, and then someone beats those, and then that's when KO. I don't know, but I don't think KO or anybody on Raw, if they win this, I don't even think Brock's going to be involved in the cash-in.
Yeah, you may be right. And Kevin Owens is a good choice. I could definitely see. I mean, Joe's somebody who I wouldn't mind seeing with the briefcase. And I know Greg thinks Braun might take this thing. I mean, and that...
Is that who Greg chose?
I think Greg chose Braun. And, I mean, and it makes sense. You know, if Braun wins it and he just... And the next time Brock Lesnar shows up, here's the contract. I'm taking your belt. I'd be fine with that. You know, they need to get, they desperately, if you are ever going to add any credibility to the Universal Championship, you've got to get that belt off of Brock Lesnar. Because that, like that guy for the Melbourne show said, a 53-year-old dead man works more than the Universal Champion. It's fucking true. And it's ridiculous.
And then somebody posted the picture of the Melbourne promo poster, and it said, guess who's not on the poster?
Brock's not on there.
But again, that's when, in October, I don't expect him to be champion in October.
No, he'll be in UFC's drug rehab protocol by then.
Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn.
Fuck. If that match goes longer than a minute, I'll be very disappointed, Rick. If Sami Zayn lasts longer than it took Lashley to run that obstacle course, I'll be fucking pissed.
Seth Rollins, Elias. I actually have Dean Ambrose coming in and screwing Seth Rollins with Elias leaving now, and I have that only to put Seth Rollins in position for that Universal Championship after his angle with Dean Ambrose.
I like that solution a lot, Rick. I know if you listen to the previous show, Platt and I had the same opinion. I so want to pick Elias in this situation because I'm so impressed with this guy. Everything, his routine every week is fantastic. You can tell he's been practicing the shit out of the guitar because he actually is good.
Getting better.
Whereas... getting better all the time.
As a guitar player, you can still tell he needs some practice, but he is getting better.
Sure. And in ring, the guy just continues to grow by leaps and bounds. The problem is, yeah, Seth Rollins is, I don't know if Elias is there yet. To me, this is a chance for him to showcase, hey, here's how far I've come against arguably one of the, well, not arguably, he's one of the top five in the world. Whether you like his matches or not, it's awfully hard to say he's not top five.
No,
so,
in today's product, I don't like Seth that much, but I'd be ignorant to not agree with you in that.
Right. And so I think it's a good moment for Elias to shine and show exactly how far he's come. But yeah, I think Seth is going to retain the title here,
which is fine. And of course, I've mixed reactions on this. Daniel Bryan, Big Cass. I have Big Cass here, man.
No, I think Daniel Bryan kicks his ass.
You think he's doing a sweep?
I think you look at that. I don't know where they're going with Big Cass, but
that was my next question to you. If Daniel Bryan wins, in your opinion, he wins. What are they doing with Cass here?
I don't know. I really don't. Cass doesn't do it for me on the mic. He doesn't do it for me in the ring. I think in Vince's mind, he's a little bit injury prone, and that's the kiss of death as far as Vince McMahon is concerned. If you're injury prone, you're done. Look at the Revival.
Very true.
Look at, you know, Sasha Banks for almost a year before they actually put the belt back on her, and Vince was comfortable that, hey, she's all right. So Cass right now to me has got that label attached to him. Hey, this guy might be injury prone. We should be careful. And Daniel, you know, if you're looking to re-sign Daniel Bryan, I don't know if having him lose a match to a guy going absolutely nowhere is where you want to go with him. I think, yeah, you keep Daniel Bryan looking as strong as possible, and you build up. If they're going to run The Miz versus Daniel at SummerSlam, belt or not, you don't want either of those guys going into that looking 2 weeks. So Cass, to me, just if they were going anywhere with him, Rick, I'd jump in with you. But I just don't – it's that look, that intensity in Daniel Bryan, the look in his eye. Yeah, I think this is another moment for him to really showcase that, hey, I'm not just back. I'm really back, and I'm coming for you.
Let me ask you a question. And the reason I selected some of the picks I selected was because you have that fucking pay-per-view between here and SummerSlam. They're going to have to fill a fucking card.
Oh, Extreme Rules? Is that what's coming up there? Okay.
So I'm looking at gender. Vince loves gender. Vince loves Roman. You get this here. Give gender another shot. Roman gets the win in Extreme Rules. And, of course, just like WWE does it with everything, between Extreme Rules and SummerSlam, you'll have some kind of fatal four-way or some kind of mini tournament to determine who gets Brock Lesnar. But I'm with you on Big Cass, man. I just it really depends on when they want to start the Daniel Bryan Miz angle. Because, like you said, if you're going to re-sign him, what are you going to tell him? We're going to re-sign you, but we're putting you with Cass again.
Yeah, I mean, Cass to me just seems like...
So, you know, to me, Big Cass that response, seems like a... Kazoo, my fucking pick.
I talked you into switching it.
Yes.
I think, look, it's good for Big Cass to work with a guy like Daniel Bryan. And you, when you really strip away all the kayfabe from this and you say, why are they doing this? Because it's a great learning tool for Big Cass to be in there with a guy like Daniel Bryan who can show him a lot about being an in-ring tactician and just ring psychology. And Cass needs that because after being stuck with Enzo for all those years, fuck, you're lucky you're even in WWE anymore. So I really think, Rick, my opinion is they put Cass with Daniel to have Cass absorb as much as he can. And I'm sure Daniel behind the scenes is like, yeah, sure, man, I'll work with this guy. I'll bring him along. I'll let you know if I think there's something there. But does that mean you put him over? I don't think so.
Well, then that's the case. That's Money in the Bank. Let's just quickly, like I said, I'm sure you got something to do, so let's take 2 minutes here. NXT, Undisputed Era, Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, who you got?
Oh, it's the Undisputed Era. Lorcan and Burch are not the team that's going to dethrone that fashion. Nope.
Said I think they have a lot more tread on the tires with the Undisputed Era.
Oh, I don't think they haven't even traveled 100 miles yet. Agreed. As far as tread on the tires.
I agree. Ricochet, Velveteen Dream. I said I chose Ricochet, but I said I think Velveteen Dream is the guy that's going to come out. Win or lose, nothing's going to hurt Ricochet. But this match, I think, could really help Velveteen Dream with his performance. I think that's the guy everyone's going to be talking about coming out of this match.
Yeah, I think this is Platt and I both agreed on this one that we think this is a match that steals the whole weekend. A little surprised to hear Greg say he was not as enamored with Velveteen Dream's in-ring skills as Platt and I were, but Ricochet is just on another level entirely. But I agree with you. I think this is a great opportunity for Velveteen Dream to erase all those doubts about just how good this guy really is. I don't think he wins because I think Ricochet, they need to kind of elevate him a little bit more quickly. But you know, sooner or later, Velveteen Dream is going to get that big breakout moment. And it may come against Adam Cole for the North American Championship. Velveteen Dream, if you're going to use that as a true secondary title, then I think Velveteen Dream is perfect in that sort of environment to say, hey, he's the functional equivalent of the Intercontinental Champion for NXT. And I would love to see the Dream in that sort of a role. And Adam Cole and the Velveteen Dream, yeah, there's another take my money moment right there.
Shayna Baszler, Nikki Cross. I had Shayna Baszler retaining.
Yeah, we talked about this, and it's too soon to pull the belt off Shayna. I love Nikki Cross in this situation, though, because I said it on the previous show. She's the perfect opponent for Shayna right now because she's just like, I'm too crazy to give a shit what a badass you think you are. I'm just going to come and punch you in the mouth. And for somebody, if you're a bully like Shayna, and we've all been around bullies, they don't really know how to deal with somebody who just doesn't give a shit like that. So it's a perfect, from a psychology and storytelling standpoint, it's perfect. But yeah, way too soon to take the belt off Shayna Baszler. And like Greg brought up a good point, they've delayed bringing Sanity onto SmackDown, and maybe that's because they're going to bring Nikki Cross with them because now they don't need them. They're not doing the tag team Money in the Bank match and that sort of thing. So, yeah, Shayna retains.
We already spoke about Gargano and Ciampa. We both have Ciampa winning. Aleister Black, Lars Sullivan.
Yeah, Lars Sullivan doesn't do anything for me. He just, to me, it's like NXT's version of a cheap carbon copy of Braun Strowman. I've seen enough big guys. I know Vince loves big guys, and that's all great. But when you see him once, you've seen him 100,000 times. Lars does not have Braun's charisma. And granted, Braun didn't have Braun's charisma a year and a half ago either. But yeah, I just don't see it. Aleister Black is he's kind of the forgotten champion, which is a problem. He's been Gargano and Ciampa has overshadowed just about everything, mm-hmm. which is a bit of an issue. But yeah, I think it's just too soon to pull the belt off Aleister Black, who you've hardly seen at all since New Orleans. So I think, you know, Lars will probably catch one of those black masses and everybody like, oh shit, this is it. They'll get caught with two or three more, and that'll be all she wrote. Aleister Black retains.
All right, man. So which card are you looking forward to the most, NXT or Money in the Bank?
This is the thing that we had said. You know, it was Tunney asking us who picked the match that's going to steal the weekend. And I think this is another place where Platt and I were kind of on the same page. Or I think all of us were like, I so want to have the WWE event be the better card. I mean, I really want to have that happen. It just never does. And TakeOver always outshines WWE. There are those two matches that could just blow everything out of the water. Gargano and Ciampa, Ricochet and The Dream. And I don't think there's anything that's going to happen on the Money in the Bank card that's going to match those. So I probably am looking forward to Money in the Bank a little bit more just because I want to see how the ladder matches play out. But if you're going to tell me which card I think is going to be better quality, probably TakeOver again.
And it's hard. I mean, when you look at the Money in the Bank, man, the storyline doesn't start till after the match. Until then, they're two gimmick matches. When you have storylines, just the Gargano and Ciampa, man, that will get anyone emotionally involved in this event. Okay, I'm here for Ciampa Gargano. God damn, Ricochet and Dream were good. Aleister Black, who was this guy? Undisputed Era, I need to pay attention to them. Just that fucking, it's always been, since I've started watching wrestling, just like Ric Flair said, it's not the match that brings you to the event. It's the promos and it's the storyline. Get me there first.
Right.
And the main card fails to do that.
Well, the main card
for the most part.
The main card tells a better story than NXT does. NXT is usually light on storytelling because it's only an hour every week. But then when you get to TakeOver, Jesus, it delivers in spades with in-ring action. So, yeah, there's two ways of looking at it. It depends. If you're more into the story, then by all means, you're going to like Money in the Bank better. If you're one of these guys who says, story's kind of cool, but I really want to see a top-notch wrestling match that excites me, then, yeah, TakeOver is going to be the way you go.
That's it. All right, Dave, well, I appreciate you coming on. Tomorrow, Father's Day, you are a father. Happy Father's Day. I hope you have a good day.
Thank you, my man.
I hope you enjoy NXT, man. I hope you enjoy Money in the Bank.
I'm sure we'll be talking after it's all over, my friend.
Oh, yeah. All right, Dave, thanks for coming on, man.
Anytime, buddy.
I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace. And that would wipe the smile right from face. Do you remember when we used to dance? An incident arose from circumstance. One thing led to another, we were young. And we would scream together songs unsung.
All right, everybody, that was the 2001 Invasion Watch Along. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you for Big Dave for coming on. Of course, he's the official co-host of these Watch Alongs, man. So try to get this volume situated. There we go. Shout out to Asia, heat of the moment. 2001 Invasion, I hope you enjoyed it. Big swerve at the end. Austin turned and heel, joining the Alliance. Like I said, August, September, October. You have 3.5 months in between the events. We're going to be doing the next one, the culmination of the Invasion angle, Survivor Series 2001, 10-man elimination tag. That's where it, quote-unquote, officially ends. So we're going to do that one for you next week. We already have the 94 Rumble match out now. Go to thechairshot.com, listen to ours, and check out all the other fantastic podcasts they have, including the Attitude of Aggression with the man you just heard, Dave, Pod is War with Platt, Andrew Blaze, Balls, PC Tunney, Chair Shot Radio, DPP, Outside Interference for Greg DeMarco. Man, they're just throwing so many out here, like right here. Just thechairshot.com. We got the Wrestling Recap, our show, the 2MB Wrestling Podcast, Stage Dive Wrestling, so much more. TheChairShot.com. Until then, guys, tonight, NXT, Money in the Bank tomorrow. By the time you hear this, it would have already happened. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you all for listening to the 2MB Wrestling Podcast 2001 Invasion Angle Match Watch Along.